Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right? Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. Shed blood from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Reality and relationships. And so with that said, you know it must be Thursday night. I am your host, KL Belvin, and on the other line should be my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton, very pregnant. Belvin, are you there, love?
Hey.
Hey, what's going on, baby? So if you have tuned in by computer, we thank you. If you've tuned in from your phone, we thank you. Remember, if you're on your phone, you can just hit 1 if you want to jump in and speak to us at any time. If you're listening from your computer and you want to call in, the number is 646-200-3838. We love to engage with folks that are listening. Let us know that you're there and enjoying the show, so we always enjoy the conversation, so feel free. And again, we're going to pray that we can deliver a very interesting show. I think it should be something that's going to interest folks. Now, tonight, well, you know what? I'm not going to tip my hand on what we're going to talk about just yet. You got a little something to do with marriage. But anyway, baby, how was your week?
My week was long. I only worked 4 days because I took Monday off. I was supposed to go to the doctor, as you know. And it was postponed until next week, because next week we're going to have our second trimester sonogram, and the OB wanted to see me after the sonogram, where they check the baby's anatomy and make sure everything is developing the way it should. So it was postponed, so I only had a 4-day work week this week. I'll be back tomorrow, but it always seems long. There's a lot of stuff going on a job that I don't care to discuss on air. But, it was fun.
Let me tell y'all something. Y'all better support what we're doing, because I'm trying to make it that my baby ain't got to go to work anymore. I'm about to get all the hats that they used to wear on Living Color, with, you know, all the Jamaicans where they used to go get jobs, 1,000 jobs. That's going to be me. I'm going to make it that you ain't got to do nothing and sit at home.
Let's just say he's trying to make it so I don't have to go work for someone else anymore. I would love it. I could stay home and work for Braven, myself, and, you know, just do that.
And that's Braven Publishing, if you're just tuning in for the first time. Braven Publishing is our own publishing company. We have 15 books that we have had our hands on over the last 3 years, and we're going to push that total even more in the coming year, because I have another book that's coming out in 2014. And so, yes, we have our own company, and we are working to where we can become self-sufficient with our own company. So if you tune in tonight, make sure that you do a quick search. Jump over to www.bravenpublishing.com, and you can see the things that we have done, we have accomplished. My books are there, as well as the books of the other authors that we have worked with. So, again, how else was going on with your week?
Actually, that's about it.
Well, that's too exciting.
It wasn't, you know, my week was uneventful. I came to the epiphany that I would wait until after the baby to continue my new job search, because I need to focus on taking care of home and taking care of myself. So,
unless you get the call from the company that you've been waiting on. Other than that, it is what it is.
There's only one company that I would just, you know, walk out there and say, okay, it's a done deal. But other than that, it's been pretty good. How was your week?
You know, I know I got to start doing something different. My weeks are starting to just melt into each other. But no, I have been really focusing on doing more reading, which I have been, and studying, and working on the internal aspect of who I am, working on changing a lot, have carved away some folks that just didn't need to be connected to me, as well as building new relationships with individuals that's going to help me professionally as an author, as well as a publisher. And, you know, I connected with some folks, but I spoke to a partner of mine today. And I just got to give a shout out and let my man know, my man Tiger, that our prayers are with him. Him and his woman lost a child. And when you're expecting a child and you hear about a loss, it always shakes you up a little bit, because it's close to home. And you don't know how to really wrap your arms around somebody else when you're going through some of the same things that they're going through. But as I told him today, all he can do is be strong for his lady. It's going to be very difficult on her, and that's all you can do. And I said, I've been there, and that, you know, my prayers are with him and with his woman, and I know it's a very difficult time for them. So I just want to send my prayers out to them and ask anyone that's listening to do the same. My man Tiger is all about his business, and he's trying to, you know, keep his head in the game, because he still has to go out there and provide for the family, because he does have another son, and they have another son together. And so, you know, we're wishing them the best. So I just wanted to bring that up. Other than that, it's just focus. It's really, I have some goals. I have some fantasies that I'm going to turn into reality, simply because I am going to lay so much at God's feet because I think that he has required me to do so much more, and that is actually what I'm going to do. I'm going to do more. And it means I'm going to have to just run some folks over because if they're just going to stand still, I ain't got no choice right now. I got to just, like that video I showed you in the car, I'm going to be that big dude just running over cats. I ain't got time. And as I said before, I done climbed into the shallow end of the pool. So now it's time to get Marco Polo. It's Marco Chokeout. So I'm just going to choke out some cats that's in the way so I can do what I got to do. You know, and that's it. I watched Preachers of L.A. last night, and I got to say that it was interesting. I didn't dislike it for all the reasons that I saw a lot of folks posting, and I said I was going to wait until I watched it myself before I jumped on the it's this, it's that, oh my gosh. And I can honestly say it wasn't what I've seen a lot of people post, but it just didn't work for me. I wish all the pastors well. I think if you are watching or you do watch, you will learn how to have spiritual and religious disagreements and not let them get to real disrespectful places. But as a show, I'm not a big fan of reality shows. I didn't think I was going to become a big fan, and so I didn't. And so I watched it one time. I don't think I'll go back to watch it again, but I wish all the pastors well in what they're doing. You know, it is what it is.
Do you think that there will ever be a time where the number of reality shows diminishes? Because it just seems like we have a reality show about everything now.
Because people tune in. People tune in. People tune in because people like to believe that what they're watching is reality, even though it's staged. And people like, even if it's on a limited basis, people like to be able to get into other people's business. It's like the height of being nosy. You're actually
Reality shows have not been reality since, what was the first one we actually started watching? What was Real World? The first season of Real World?
I didn't even watch it. I just know it was on.
Real. And we know from our own experiences from meetings that we've had with networks and production companies, because Kale and I have been on numerous meetings where, there was a discussion of us being on a reality show. And from those judges,
we was up for Biggest Loser.
Right.
And then they called me back, and they wanted me to come on by myself for Biggest Loser. I was up for, Extreme Makeover, the weight loss.
Right. And then, we were, up for that. Like pre-wedding, who wants to lose weight before their wedding?
Yeah, and then there was the VH1 where it was you put up the $10,000 and you put 10 fat couples in the house and whoever loses the most weight keeps the money and all this other foolishness.
Right.
But what you don't see about these shows is the hoops that they have you leap through to even be considered. That's the first thing, especially Biggest Loser. Listen, I can speak about it because they never picked me, is that they have you sign a disclaimer, and they give you like a 22-page application to fill out. And, they tell you got to take 12 weeks off from your job, like you have that type of time. And then you may go through all of that simply for them to say, nah, we changed our mind. And now you got to, figure out your whole life all over again. And of course they're waving the 15 minutes of fame in front of you, and of course the idea that you get to lose weight on their dollar. But you're living out on a ranch with the trainers, and you don't get to see that. You don't see that the trainers live with it's a lot. And after a while you just get to the point that you go, you know what, I'm not no pawn. And I'm speaking real ghetto, the director,
they're looking for the buffoonery actually, because I've had basically say, okay, because again, we've had so many meetings on different topics, pageantry, modeling, wedding, weight loss, that the first thing they'll say, okay, what type of drama do you deal with? They're looking for the buffoonery. So I'm just, I can't anymore. These reality shows are just enough for me, and I wish we could get to real television and acting and seeing real actors on television. Let's get rid of all the people who want their 15 minutes of fame. We don't need that anymore. I guess my husband has gotten cut off. I don't know what's going on because we can't hear him anymore.
Yeah, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Oh, I can hear you now.
All right.
Yeah, I can hear
you now. I guess the reason why they're not going to get rid of them is because when you have the numbers, the sheer number of turnouts for these shows, to be on these shows, one, two, the numbers, people watch these numbers, people watch these shows religiously. And so you're not going to get rid of them. And like I said, people like to be nosy. People want to know what Honey Boo Boo is doing. Why? I have no idea. And the funny thing is, as much as we think it's coonery and clownery, well, Sweet Georgia Brown basically gets a commercial because she couldn't speak English. Ain't nobody got time for that. And it started to be, now people say that. And, you know, she turns her 15 minutes into fame. And the dude, you know, this is what people live for. And people like this. And when you're talking about, like, taking preachers of L.A., you're talking about well-known preachers of 20, 30 years in some cases who have large flocks. There's folks that want to know something about them. There's folks that want to see what they can pick up. And, of course, you have the haters that are going to watch simply to hate. So all that turns into dollars. And when you think of any of the reality shows, like you got those bushwhacking cats that live out in the whatever. I don't know what that one is. I don't know. I can't even think of the name because I don't watch them. But then,
who,
like, Ice Trucker.
Who was the Rednecks and Millionaire Rednecks? What was the name of that one?
All right, listen, I thought that was the name.
Millionaires, but they were missing teeth, dirty clothes.
But, I mean, and you got Ice Truckers, you got crabbers, you know, you want to watch people fishing for crabs and, you know, the idea that somebody might, you know, all this, but it pays off. See, I'm waiting for it to get to the point that we're just going to start icing people on television. That's what I'm waiting on. Like, when we go to get this straight execution, like, okay, let's stop playing and let's start hunting people down. Like, you know, you joke.
What was that movie?
But
that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Running Man with... Yeah, Running Man. Yeah, I mean, so at some point, there's been many other films like that where, okay, we're going to televise what's going on, and so what's the progression of television? So for me, it's gotten to the point that I just can't bother. So I don't, when people say, have you seen? Nah, I really haven't. I mean, like now, we're on tonight and Scandal's on. I can honestly say I have not seen a episode of Scandal, nor do I choose to watch it. The what's saying? People think I'm crazy. I'm like, how could you not watch it? I don't. The premise does nothing for me. The idea of it does nothing for me. And I wish everyone well that's on the show and that watches the show, but it doesn't do anything for me. So, you know, it is what it is. But I would tell any listeners, we do not tell folks what to listen to, nor do we tell folks what to read, nor do we tell folks what to believe. It is up to you to decide what works for you. And if that is entertainment, listen, do you. And if you want to sit there and say, KL, you're so wrong because it's just mindless fun, you know what? You are right. Do you, because I like to sit and read comic books, and some people can say the same thing about that. So do what you got to do. It's just not for me. But other than that, everything else is good. You know, it is what it is. What you got going on in the news today? Now, you going to depress us something awful as usual?
I don't want to just you guys. That's not my goal, but like I said,
have they tried to look for?
Huh?
They found that little boy?
No, Avante Akindo. That's a little boy that's missing from Queens, uh-huh. The 14 autistic little boy. They are still looking for him. They're now believing that he had a fascination with trains, so they now believe that he may have boarded a train and left New York altogether, possibly going to New Jersey. They have no idea. They're using different tactics to try to get his attention because he is nonverbal. So the police here in New York have started playing a recording on a loudspeaker of his mom's voice telling him to come through the flashing lights, which when I read that, it was so sad to me, so sad to even think. I can't even imagine how she got through that recording of being able to call out to her child saying, come to the flashing lights. So it's just, if we talked about it at work, and as of tomorrow, it will be 2 weeks that he's been missing since he left his school and no one has seen him. So, you know, you try to be hopeful and you pray and you hope that he's fine. Maybe someone has him and hope that they're not mistreating him. But
didn't they say a woman was with him or something like that?
I heard something. I didn't read it. I just overheard someone talk saying that he may have been with a woman the last they saw, or some surveillance, because they are. And that's another thing. I said, well, all the cameras that we have in New York City, everywhere, why isn't there more surveillance to see exactly where he went and how? It's just
sometimes you wanna make things racial just because I'm sorry. Sometimes you almost want to believe that if they wanted to find his boy, they could. But we just have to go on what's actually being done.
You know,
so,
what's funny, because I know a lot of people want to always make it a racial thing, but with this was the best response I have seen in reference to missing children in New York. The police in New York right now with this case have been doing an excellent job, I have to say. They have kept it on the news. It's on the news every day, all day long, in the newspaper. I mean, I have to give them credit that they are really trying to find this little boy. And I've never seen him go to that extent with missing children in New York. So
I got you. Well, I hope they find a little man, because, you know, it's starting to get to the point where you almost have to just shake your head, because it's been a minute. And once you get
and
to, like, the two-week mark, has he eaten, you know, stuff like that. And
it's cold out. You know, you wonder.
Yeah.
You wonder so many things. And I've actually had friends that have gone out to the location in Long Island City where his school is to offer their, you know, what they can do to help look for him. Because it hit home for a lot of people, especially I have a lot of friends that have autistic children. I have an autistic niece. And it's hard to believe he's out there. And you just pray that he's safe. So I'm going to pray for his family that they find him soon.
Oh, any other news? What else is going on in the news? Wow.
Well, the biggest news is the government shutdown has finally come to an end after 16 days.
Getting that back, though.
Oh,
they get paid,
my
though,
goodness.
Right? They get the back
you
money.
You know, they do get back money. They do get the back money.
Okay.
But it's just, you know, I didn't realize how much is affected when the government decides, okay, we're just going to shut down. And I was talking to my sister, because my sister's a TSA agent at the airport, and the idea is she still had to go to work, but she wasn't
getting paid. No go.
Right.
Wow.
I didn't realize there were a lot of people who still had to go to work, because they are contracted to go to work. If they don't go to work, they could actually lose their job. But for the past, it was going into 3 weeks, they were not receiving a paycheck. So what they were going through, you have people who just, they were suffering. 3 weeks is a long time not to get paid. They were suffering, and I can't even imagine. And it's funny because I work in a healthcare facility, and, of course, we receive government subsidies for our residents. And it hit people on the job that, wait a minute, this might start affecting us. And I'm thinking, oh, you just thought about that? I'm thinking, we receive government subsidies also. So if they decide, okay, we're not paying for these people for this duration of time, and if you think about it, how much is it costs per day to take care of a resident in a healthcare facility, long-term or short-term, it could amount to a lot of money. So who knows how it's going to affect us in the long run. They're actually already talking about it affecting the buying season for the holidays, because, of course, everyone's funds are delayed. So the last thing you're thinking about is shopping for Christmas. You want to possibly pay your mortgage, your car note, buy groceries. So,
and some places ain't trying to hear that. It's like, yo, give us our dough. We ain't trying to hear that you was out of work.
That's true, too. That is so true.
I know
so
it affected a lot of folks that I know.
I'm just glad that they came to an agreement, and hopefully it'll all work out. We'll see.
Well, listen, that is the hope, that things do work out for the better. So what else is going on, baby?
I'd be amiss if I didn't discuss the story about Baby Hope. You remember Baby Hope, honey?
Just from what I heard on the news. I remember being a Law and Order episode at one point. So.
Well, that's about the 4-year-old who was found strangled or I think she was strangled and sexually assaulted. Her body was left in the cooler in the park 22 years ago. And they never found her parents. They didn't know where she came from. And they have now arrested her uncle or cousin who admitted that he sexually molested her and he killed her because he was afraid that she was going to tell on him. And everybody wondered, well, how could her mother have a missing daughter and not report it? And at first I was listening to the story. I said, okay, this story doesn't make any sense because I don't care what the circumstances are. Your child goes missing, you report it. And people were saying, well, you know, she was afraid because she didn't speak the language. She was afraid she was going to get deported. So she just she was here, you know, illegally. So she figured, I'm not going to say anything. But what I found out is getting more information. It wasn't just that her daughter disappeared and she just left it at that. What happened was she and her husband had separated. And her husband, I'm taking two of the children, which was the 4-year-old and another daughter. But when he took them, he left them with a brother and sister and decided to go off wherever he went, and the brother and sister were raising these two little girls. And subsequently, both of the girls were being sexually molested, but he killed the 4-year-old. I believe she was older. That got, you know, caught.
Come on.
And
come on.
The sister helped the brother hide the body. And since then, she has died. So basically, years later, after the sister died, the uncle, cousin, whoever he is, says, okay, here's your other daughter back. And the mother says, well, where's my, I think her name was Angelica. Well, where's Angelica? And he said, I don't know. Now, this is the man that killed the little girl. He says, I don't know. I think my sister said she died, and it was just left at that. And the mother said, you know, she was embarrassed because she didn't speak the language. It was a language barrier. She didn't know what to do, but she kept hope that her daughter was alive and that, you know, she would come home one day or she would find her. But obviously, circumstances as they are, the cousin, uncle, family member killed the little girl, and now he's facing charges and has been arrested.
How did they catch him, though?
They got a tip. They got a tip from someone, and actually, if I remember correctly, when the story first broke early on, from what I understood, one of the other siblings said, Baby Hope is my sister. And it's so funny because the reason why the police even opened the case in, because it was a cold case, the reason why they had opened the case is because it was coming up on the 22-year anniversary of the day that they found her. And the police in New York, they were very affected by, you know, a 4-year-old being left in a cooler and, you know, just out for, you know, whatever reason. And they had given her, of course, named Baby Hope. They had given her a funeral. They had did so much to try to find who killed this little girl, try to find a parent, that they decided, you know what, we're going to canvass again and see if anybody has some information. And from what I understand, one of the siblings of Baby Hope came forward, and that's how they were able to locate the mother. Because the mother, actually, she knew her daughter was missing, but she had no idea that her daughter was the one that they found. So she said she didn't know that her daughter was the one that they found until the police came knocking on her door.
Oh, wow. Whew. You know, I just, no more news for you, man. I'm just going to do the news. That's it.
I'm going to try to find more happy news. It's very hard. But,
no,
it is what it is. You know what has breaking today? I have to say, KL and I watch this series that's been on for, I forgot, we're the fourth season now, right, honey?
For The Walking Dead?
Yes, Walking Dead. The Walking Dead is in season 4, and it's been the most watched drama series on cable history. So, What happened?
I said, whatever. That opening episode was a little weak, but go ahead.
You know what? I've been a fan since episode one, season one. And that was back in October. Yeah, you
watched
it, but you didn't start watching it. You didn't start watching it until almost the end of the second season. I've been watching it from the beginning.
No, no. I started watching towards the end of the second season, but I watched all of season one, all of season two to catch up to season three.
Yes, you have.
And, okay, so once I've caught up and I've seen all the episodes, I'm in a position to give a valid opinion. And I thought the earlier season, you know, it was an interesting story. But you have to admit yourself that last season with the Woodbury foolishness was dragging and corny.
No, I actually liked that season. And I, along with my colleagues, happen to be avid fans of Walking Dead. And we all like the season because it's about character development and story development. I try to explain to KL that you can't have every single episode where people are getting killed and all this action and drama and there's no story and no background to the characters. So now they're developing, and just like with the Sunday was the opening of the fourth season, it's giving you more information about the characters and where they come from and what their ideas of the apocalypse.
We are not going to sit here and talk about The Walking Dead. That's out. Second, there's no background on Moshon, whatever her name is. There's no background on the Woodbury guy, except we know that him and Rick know each other because he was a drunk in the town. You didn't even know that. I had to tell you that. So you wasn't even paying attention to that. Anyway.
I was paying attention. I just happened to miss that tidbit. There's a lot going on.
All right, but either way, that makes a big difference, the fact that they knew each other. Either way, it is dragging. It is whatever. Now you got kids involved, and so, you know, that makes it corny. Listen, whatever. If it's cool, I watch it. You know, ain't nothing else on a Sunday night if I'm not watching a football game anyway, so I kind of split between the two. It is what it is. Listen, not going to stress, but I'm just saying, for me, there's better things that I've seen, and if this season doesn't pick up, and, you know, we'll see. But we're not going to discuss any more The Walking Dead. Anyway, this is Reality and Relationship Show. We don't want to lose you with talking about The Walking Dead. But if you want to call in and indulge my wife, she will definitely engage you in Walking Dead conversation. I'll be in the back booing. But anyway, we will definitely be back. Because we're going to, what we really want to get into tonight is that we are going to be talking about how to make your marriage cool again, which is the movement that my wife and I are the creators of. And just simply our way of trying to give back to those what we learned about being married. We're not gurus. We're not people that can tell you it's guaranteed to work. Because
speak for yourself. I'm a guru.
All right. Well, you're a guru. I'm the guru's husband. But we're definitely going to talk about some of the things that we came up with from our seminar, Making Marriage Cool Again. It's actually a seminar that we have. Spoke about at various churches and places. And in 2014, you will see us in many more venues discussing this because we're going to push this movement forward. We also have a Facebook page, Making Marriage Cool Again. You can actually check it out. We even have a blog, makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com. You'll actually hear these shows. The archives are placed there, so we ask that you go and listen to them if you've missed any of our shows, because our goal is to try to improve the concept, not institution, the concept of marriage, and try to make it into something that people can feel honorable about. It just seems like when you mention marriage, it doesn't have the zest and the feel that it should. And when we come back after our two-song break, we're going to attempt to show you just some of the things that make our marriage what it is. So this is KL Belvin. That is my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. This is Reality and Relationships, and we'll be back in two songs.
My baby, what a lady, girl, ooh, you're like a wine, you get better with time, got your knee along, all this shit so you're so fine, from everything that you wear, your kind of beauty is rare, and I swear, every year.
Get your sexual peak, your full naked physique. Young girl can't compete, come cooking me something to eat. Save this instance, we in the kitchen. Girl, let me get that muffin. You look down at the order here, yeah.
Can't believe what time, girl, you're getting better. Looking like a picture of the dawning after.
The story gets more pretty every chapter. Getting more attractive.
Ain't it a factor?
You really need to let me in your world, girl. What a pearl, girl. No Google, you're still a kitten, hidden. You working out, girl, shut your mouth, you looking thicker. You know how to hold your liquor. Nigga, show me your ID, I get the picture. I propose and those players raise your glass. But my bill can box in my safety dash. Ladies, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm about to eat that stuff. You look better the older you get. They wouldn't believe me.
Reality and Relationships. Is there anything better than smooth R&B? That's all I'm going to say about that. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. I am KL Belvin, your host, one of your hosts, and my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, is the other. So, darling, let me just say this before we go any further. Any information given at this moment on is copywritten by Braven Publishing and Keith L. Belvin and Tiffany Braxton Belvin. So please do not reproduce without the strict permission from Braven Publishing, KL Belvin, or Tiffany Braxton Belvin. So we will give this because we choose to, but if you decide to reproduce it, I would hate to have to see you in court and take everything that you own. So it is up to you. But please, you can definitely contact us, invite us, and we would definitely come and get deeper into what we're about to go over. All right, baby.
Yes,
so one of the things that we did in looking to try to making marriage work and making it cool again was to come up with a seminar that we knew would just give folks a glimpse into the things that we do as a married couple. So
yes,
let's go through the agenda, and we're going to try to get through as much as we can tonight. And whatever we can't, maybe we'll come back with it next week. So basically in our agenda, these are some of the points, and this is actually going to be revised for 2014 because there's some things that Tiff and I would like to add that we believe would, again, enhance marriage. One, communication. Two, an impartial referee. Three, balance. Four, the commitment itself. Five, humor. Six, the little things. Seven, roles. And I'm not talking about roles, breaded roles. I'm talking about roles and designed roles. And what would I love? My lost thought. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Playful lovemaking. Now, before you freaky cats start running with that, we will explain that deeper. So I don't want you going, yes, that's what I'm talking about, KL. No, you will not get that type of information.
Now, I also want to mention the reason why KL and I came up with this idea of making marriage cool again is because when we would go out to events for Raven Publishing, we would set up our table, we sit at our table. As a couple, we play all the time. We laugh, we have fun, we joke around. We talk a lot to each other. And people would see us and come over because they see us having so much fun and want to know how long we've been together, what makes us laugh so much. We seem to get along so well. So we came up with this idea of making marriage cool again because people, it seemed like foreign to people that a married couple could actually get along, be together for as long as we have. We've been together for 13 years and actually still enjoy each other's company. And
yeah.
I thought it was very good. I think it was like our thing to do, honestly, when I tell people, because we both come from homes where we did not have role models as far as what marriage should be, what relationship should be, what family should actually
not
be.
Not at all.
So we had to learn basically from trial and error. We had to learn by being each other's support system. So we came up with this idea because we wanted to break the cycle. My mom was a single-teen mom. KL's mom was a single-teen mom. KL's grandmother was a single mom. My grandmother was a single mom. My father had multiple kids by multiple women. KL's father had multiple kids by multiple women. KL has multiple kids by multiple women. So we wanted to break the cycle and say, okay, what are we doing, first of all, as a people wrong? And what can we do to make things better? So I just wanted to, you know, input that as a reason why.
Well, no doubt. I mean, the only thing that you can do is to really change things by, one, acknowledging that something's wrong. So that's one of the first things that we did, was just acknowledge that we just didn't like the way that we've seen things going on in our own families. You know, dysfunctional families is dysfunctional families. There's no way around that. But it doesn't mean that you have to leave things that way. There's ways around that. There's ways to change that. And so this is our way of offering that and saying, let's do something.
Also understand understand, when we say dysfunctional, it doesn't mean that you're not in a loving family. Because I think sometimes people hear dysfunction and they don't want to associate that with their family. There are a lot of families out there that's dysfunctional. So it's not saying that you don't have a loving, nurturing family. It's just saying that maybe your family is not 100% effective at how they interact with each other. And things could be different in order to enhance what's going on in the structure. So don't think when we say dysfunctional that your family is broken and it can't be fixed. And that's not what we're saying at all. We're just saying that there are better ways to deal with circumstances.
And one of the things that we're going to do is, like I said, is this is the whole reason why we put this together. Now, looking at communication, well, you know, we can't do nothing if the Lord's not involved in it. So one of the scriptures that we want folks to focus on is, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. That's 1 Corinthians 15:33. Now, from the King James Version of the Bible, if you and your significant other are not having quality conversations, y'all are not actually speaking positives most of the time, you're going to have disagreements. But if you are not sharing with each other positives, well, eventually it's going to corrupt the overall relationship. It's going to corrupt how you two treat each other. I don't care, male or female, female or male. It's going to be a problem if your communication is laced with negativity. No one wants to be in that environment for too long. And if it's responsibilities or circumstances that are keeping you in that, then they're going to start to search elsewhere for a little peace of mind before they have to come home to you. They'll actually say, well, I'm stopping off for a drink after work. I'm going to hang out with the girls. I'm going to hang out with the fellas. Anything that they can do to prolong the time before they have to come in and deal with what they know is going to be negativity. And it makes no difference whether it's male or female. So that's right. One of the first things that we bring up, because you two have to be the foundation to and for each other.
Right.
You have to be. You have to undergird each other, because it's 100% both ways. Not 50-50, not 80-20, not 60-40. 100%.
You know,
yeah, go ahead, baby.
I hate when people say relationships are 50-50. If you're only giving 50% of yourself to the relationship, there is a problem.
Yeah.
You have to give your whole self or none at all in order for it to work.
A lot of people's like, well, I'm not giving if I'm not getting, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that. Then exactly. And that's one of the things, too, is that you have to realize that it's all out or nothing. And if you go all out and you're going all out all the time, then you'll understand why the things that we're putting in place work, why the things that we're saying work. Because it's a matter of, if you're going all out, then you don't want any type of negativity. You don't want to be bothered with it at all. Trust me when I tell you. And these are little things that Tiff and I do on a regular, and people respond to it. Because like Tiff said, people come over, they just want to know, you know, why we're having so much fun. Because the event might be boring. The event might not be going the way everybody expected it to go. But Tiff and I we're having a wonderful time. And we have actually literally seen folks come and want to sit, and we basically have church. Because I do my thing, because once you come over, you know, it's on. And so that's one thing. Moving on to the next thing. Conversation has to be like water. Your words have to flow and not be blocked. You both must be comfortable with speaking on any and every subject. So important. So very important. He or she can't feel they can't speak to you. Because again, they will start to search and look other places.
I remember
when
I was dating, before KL and I started dating, one of the prerequisites to being in a relationship with someone was he had to be able to communicate. If he could not communicate, I'm sorry, we couldn't get along. But if he was the, you know what I'm saying, type, or I don't know, I don't want to discuss it, or he doesn't want to talk about it. I could not be with him. And it's funny because I've heard often, it's true, KL talks a lot. I enjoy that my husband talks a lot, because if I need to discuss something, it's discussed. It's talked about. Usually I'm the one that doesn't want to discuss it right now. But I'm thankful that I have a husband that if we're having an issue, we talk about it. It drives me crazy to hear women say that they had a situation in their relationship. They want to discuss it. The man doesn't want to discuss it. He walks out. He ignores them. He stays away for days. I don't understand those type of relationships, because I need my man to talk to me. I need to know what's going on.
I used to do it all the time in my first marriage. I'd get upset and just be out. And I'd sometimes even go sit around the corner in the car and just listen to the radio, because I didn't want to be bothered with the whole foolishness. And it'd be like, where were you? I ain't saying nothing. Because anything that was going to kick me out of the house, it is what it is. And so you can't do that. So now I'm going to make sure that conversations is had, that we sit down and deal with the things that go on. Because if not, nothing gets healed. And you don't want things under the surface. You don't want things bubbling up, because that's how new things are introduced into the relationship. And you'll notice that a lot of the things that we talk about, if they're not addressed, now, we're expecting you to turn around and be able to do all these things tomorrow. But it gives you a viewpoint of the things that you should add to your relationship and add to your life and work towards if you're not there now. Because listen, no one changes overnight. I didn't, Tiff didn't. It's still an ongoing process, and we're still learning, and we're still strengthening each other, you know, even in the mistakes that we might make. And it is what it is. But you'll notice that the things that we talk about are things that if you do not address them at all, you are opening up the door for someone to walk right in and provide to your significant other the things that you should be providing. Now, if you notice, none of these things have anything to do with money. Nothing has to do with race. Doesn't have to do with where you live. Because these are things that you can choose to do tomorrow when you get up. The last part of the communication piece is, when words are not controlled, they hit with the force of a hurricane. Now, this is so, so important. That's why I left it as one of the end pieces. Then we could go on about communication for hours, trust me. Be careful what you say to your significant other. Be mindful of the negative that you hit them with verbally. You let that genie out the bottle, she or he may not even respond. Trust when I tell you, if it landed, it won't be forgotten. And that can fester like cancer. What does cancer do to the body? Eventually, it destroys it. Well, the body of marriage, if you land a negative blow simply because that's what you want to do and that's how you want to fight, which is dirty, not only are you going to destroy your marriage, you're going to kill any hope of reconciliation. Everybody remembers when they were abused. That verbal abuse, whether you want to believe it or not, and to have it come from someone that you love, makes it even worse.
What I always say is, if you truly love someone, you don't want to say anything to hurt them. And it's funny. What'd you say?
I said, if you can avoid it.
Right. If you can.
You can.
I believe it's all about tact. Because what I usually tell people is, what's important? Are you trying to win the argument? Or are you trying to get the person that you're discussing, whatever the circumstances are, to understand your point of view and to respect your point of view? Because if you're just trying to win an argument, then you have to kind of reevaluate what your priorities are. Because winning an argument is not a priority in a relationship. You want to come to some type of understanding and agreement about whatever the situation is. And believe it or not, Kale and I have... we don't argue a lot, but we do have our disagreements. Like, I've learned I've learned to live with the fact that at any time that I go to take a shower, there might not be a towel in the linen closet because KL uses them all.
All our personal business doesn't need to be discussed, I'm just saying.
I'm giving an example, honey, because, you know, people tend to think that we have this perfect relationship, and we don't. And it used to, I remember, it's so funny because in the beginning when we first started living together, it really, really bothered me that all the towels in the linen closet would be gone. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm not using all the towels. Where the heck are all the towels? And it would either be in the hamper or the laundry bag. And it drove me crazy. And I'll never forget what my mother said to me. She said, well, Tiffany, okay, Kale uses all the towels. She said,
yes,
but does he wash them? And
sometimes.
She said to me, she asked me, does he wash them? And I said, yes. She said, okay, then there's nothing to complain about. I said, but when I'm ready to use a new towel, there's none there. She said, okay. So he washes the towels, you get a new towel. And I'm thinking, you know, but she made me realize you choose your battles. That wasn't a really, now we laugh about it. We have tons and tons of towels that we have somebody, they don't even fit in the linen
closet. And who supplied those towels?
You did.
I know when I'm messing up.
You supplied the towel. But the idea is you have to think about, again, how you're communicating to your partner and also choosing your battles.
No doubt. And so, again, these are just small things. Now, like I said, are they perfect? Are they for everyone? No. But there are things that we feel if you just incorporate them into what you got going on. Remember, if you got some good things going on, hold on to those. If you got some negatives, here's some things that you can do to replace them. And, you know, just a few things. Now, moving on. Every relationship should have an impartial referee. Now, what do we mean by impartial referee? Someone who is not going to side with him or her or him, whichever way you want to look. Why you keep putting the male for it? Whatever. Impartial is impartial. The reason being is there has to be someone that both of you can turn to that is going to help when you have times of difficulty. And it also should be someone who understands both of you. Sometimes we turn to folks who don't understand the other person, so what they're really giving you is advice from their point of view based on the men or women that they have been with. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to fit what's going on with you and your significant other, because they may not have never dealt with someone on that particular level as your significant other and in the circumstances you're dealing with. And I know I tell folks all the time, I tell Tiff all the time, you can tell your friends all you want about me. They are not going to figure out how I think because they have never dealt with me. They don't understand that. I am somewhat crazy. Tiff can contest to that. I am somewhat a loony when it comes to certain things. It's just the way I am. And then I'm very serious about other things. So I just want to say that before we go any further, because too often we run to folks who have our back, but they may not have a full understanding. Now, don't allow your arguments to lay around and waiting. Deal with the cause of the disagreement. Don't sit around and say, okay, whatever, and there's a problem. Now, Tiff will say to you, and she can speak for herself, she'll tell you that she doesn't like to get into something right away. I do. So we find a balance, but eventually within a day or so, we get into whatever the problem is, because if we allow Go ahead, baby.
I was just about to say that it depends. And this is something that you and your partner have to come into an agreement, understand also, because it depends on what you consider, how long you consider laying around waiting is too long. And sometimes when things happen, KL wants to address it right away. And I know with myself that sometimes I get upset and I don't want to add fuel to the fire. And I know if I'm too upset, I might need to let you simmer down before I address the topic. And I remember early in our relationship, KL would say, oh, let's talk about it now. And I would say, no, I can't talk about it now, because I didn't want my temper to get away with me. And I didn't want to say something that I couldn't take back. Because once it's out here, again, that goes back to, are you trying to win the argument, or are you trying to get your partner to understand what you're saying? I didn't want to put stuff out there that I couldn't take back. And I learned that from my own parents, listening to my mother and father argue all the time, and the things that they would say. And I would wonder, okay, I know you're angry because obviously you're not listening to each other, you're not hearing each other, and you just want to say the most hurtful thing. So I learned from that that I didn't want to be in that type of relationship where we argue and nothing gets resolved. We just wake up the next day and finish, nothing ever happens. So there might be a time where I might need to wait a couple of hours or a couple of days. But eventually we will discuss whatever the circumstances are when I feel that I'm at a level that I can discuss it calmly and it's not going to escalate the matters.
Without question. And, you know, before we go to a break, I just want to say this. For Tiff and I, our impartial referee is the Lord and the Bible. Now, if that doesn't work for you, we'll explain a little bit more when we come back. But that is what we use, and that is our anchor in our disagreements. We lean on our understanding of the scriptures, as well as we lean on our faith to help guide our actions within the relationship and within disagreements. So, with that said, we're going to continue with this, and I believe that we're going to have to continue this next week, looking at the time, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We're going to be back in two songs, and we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue with the impartial referee, as well as going on to balance. So this is Reality and Relationships. I am KL. That is Tiffany. We'll be back in two songs.
A tornado flew around my room before you came. Excuse the mess it made, it usually doesn't rain in Southern California, much like Arizona. My eyes don't shed tears before they pour when I'm thinking about you. Oh no, 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 I've been thinking about you. You, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you?
Or do you not?
You were cool enough to kick it. Got a beach house I could sell you in Idaho. Since you think I don't love you, I just thought you were cute. That's why I kiss you. Got a fighter jet, I don't get to fly it. Though I'm lying down thinking about you. Oh no, 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 I've been thinking about you. You, no, 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 I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you,
do you?
Color black.
Do you not think so far ahead? wasn't sure why shit was tight. I know she felt me watching but was scared to look my way. I know she wants love, but I think I gotta shoot. Under pressure, don't know what to do. She's got two cuties with her and I got my peoples too. She put it in one, stepped on a gun and made it you. Looked inside, gave me a smile, and she blew. What am I gonna do? Where did she go? Hey, I'm thinking that she has fall. I was so big and had me open from the door. Like a dream to me, and I gotta make it real. Gotta let them know just how I feel. Now there she goes again, driving by. I hit my horn, she throws her beams on high. I put my joint in gear, and I try to give chase. She disappears again without a trace. Tell me, have you seen her? Which way did she go? Hey, I'm thinking of she.
Relationships. This is KL and my lovely wife Tiffany, and we are going to get right back into what we started talking about, which is making marriage cool again. So when we left off, we were talking about an impartial referee, and we explained that our faith in the Lord is that for us. So with that said, the Bible read together, if possible, do not use it to attack, but to calm the situation. That is if you practice the Christian faith. But if you are Muslim, you can read the Quran, and if you can read the Torah. And if you're not of any religious belief, then you can have someone that can deal with both of you fairly. Listen to your disagreement. See, for us, we want to try to handle things in-house first before we go out. Because if we can deal with it in-house, then there's no reason to bring anyone else to the table because we have everything that we need. Now, you may say, well, how do you use the Bible to handle disagreements? Well, believe it or not, the Bible actually talks about it, even with laying, with going to bed angry. You know, a lot of people understand that, but they don't attempt. I didn't say you're always going to do it, but attempt to practice the knowledge or use the knowledge. And yes, do Chip and I always work it out before we go to bed? Not at all. But we're human, and being human, we know what the scripture says. So now once the sun has come up and we've held on to that anger, we know that we're now in opposition to the Lord that we pray to. That brings us back to a center that we know we need to fix because we don't want to be in that position. Go ahead, baby.
I just want to say also that although we might not resolve the issue at hand that same day, neither one of us stop being what our role is in a relationship. So
yes.
It's not like, okay, we get into this big argument and I make myself a sandwich and not make him a sandwich. If I'm going to make myself a sandwich for lunch, I'll make him a sandwich for lunch and just throw it in at him. No, I'm dope here. But I'll make him a sandwich. I'll pour him something to drink. I'll put it in front of him and I go about my business. But again, that doesn't mean that you stop being what you're supposed to be in a relationship. I find that people get into arguing, they get into a fight, and it's like they become two separate people. It still is the person you love.
A marriage. It's still a marriage.
You're supposed to still take care of them even when you're angry. And I know it's a hard thing to do, but you're supposed to still take care of them and make sure they have what they need to have, make sure you do what your role is in their life. You don't just stop doing because you're angry.
Exactly. And so that's why we talk about the impartial referee, because it's necessary. And, you know, what if you say, well, we just don't have an impartial referee? That's when you might want to consider counseling or some other aspect, because now you might have to look outside the relationship to get the different help that you need, because you need that. And never stop searching for answers. And if you don't have one, now might be a good time while everything is calm to consider having someone, because a pastor or accountable brother and sister of your faith is a good guide and judge. Listen and ask questions without bringing up the past if avoidable. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, for us, and again, and I'm speaking strictly from the faith point of view for Tip and I, is we have a pastor that married us that we can turn to, who, even though he's friends with Tip, is going to be impartial because he has to answer to the Lord on the things that he does. So we both trust his opinion on things, and we could both sit down if we needed to go that route. We also have accountability brothers and sisters who we can turn to, and I can say, brother, did I do the wrong thing? Yes, brother, you did. And Tiff can do the same thing. And that's a matter of having folks around us that we can allow into our situation if that's what needs to happen to fix. Remember, the goal is to fix the problem, not stay angry, not stay in opposition to each other. The goal is to fix what's wrong so you can get back to everything being comfortable. And if you do not have these things, now the best time is to talk about this and consider this while everything is calm, so you can be proactive instead of reactionary. Because once the situation is happening, once the situation has got negative, now everyone is hunkered down. Everybody is getting in battle mode. Whereas when everything is calm and everything is cool and you're enjoying each other's company, now is the time to start considering, well, baby, you know what? We need to do this so in the event something happens, and start putting those things in place. Start dealing with brothers and sisters. Start trusting certain folks that you can lean on that's going to help sustain your relationship. Everybody needs help at some point or another in every aspect of their life. No one has it all together. No one's perfect. And so don't keep it all bottled up inside thinking you're going to fix it, because then that actually destroys your health and the relationship. Now, and when I also, but when we talk about listen and ask questions, don't dictate to the accountability brother and sister pastor, whoever you choose. Tell them what the problem is and then shut up and listen. They're not connected to your significant other like you are. So let them say what they have to say, even if you don't like it, because now I'm going to tell you, the truth may come back like medicine. You will have to maybe open up your mouth and take that medicine, and it may not taste good. You may have your accountability brother and sister say, you are 100% wrong. And your first reaction may be to, but you, my friend, shut up. Let them explain to you why you're wrong based on what they heard from you. Don't try to shape their thought. Don't try to shape their answer. If they say you're wrong, talk about it. See it from their point of view. Discuss it. End of the day, you still can make whatever choice you need to make. But remember why you put that place.
Kale and I had this discussion. we had this discussion earlier this morning, actually, about having people around you, like your core people, who are not afraid to tell you when you're wrong. If you have a bunch of yes men and yes women around you, they are doing you a disservice. If they're going to co-sign everything you do, whether it's positive or negative, or afraid to confront you and your nonsense, because there's nonsense, because sometimes I have my own nonsense, and I have friends that will say to me, you are bugging. If you don't have a friend, like a real friend, and not a frenemy, and not someone that you claim is hating on you, but a real friend that can actually say, you need to get yourself together, then you need to reevaluate your friends. Because you should have a friend that you can actually respect their opinion of what they see, and like Kale said, be impartial. Because we had this discussion earlier, I don't need a lot of people around me that's just going to fill my head with a bunch of nonsense and not really tell me the truth. That
yeah,
will
it's
be
not gonna
that's going to help me. It doesn't help me.
Yeah. It's not going to help. And then the sad thing about that is it'll actually do more damage to the relationship, and it might not be damage that you can repair. Because the window may close on actually trying to fix that. So now a person just simply goes, you know what, whatever. And you don't want a person giving up. You don't want a person quitting because they just don't feel that they can fix this. Because I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're worried about your significant other ending up with somebody else, let them feel despair in the relationship and see how quickly they end up with somebody else. Now, I can honestly tell you, when Tiff and I was dating and I was in my cheating mode, Tiff had got so fed up with my cheating that she was like, she had put it into motion to get it on herself. And I can't lie that when I read that, I was like, what? What? She going to try to give my stuff to somebody else? Now, here I was cheating, but I was like, what?
And he was angry.
I was about to beat her and the groceries up. Now, here I am, the cheater. But now when I had to face my own music, I did not like the sound. And I got to be honest, I was like, whoa. Now, you know, and sometimes when you put it into motion, when it comes home, when those chickens come home to roost, let me tell you something. It's not going to be something that you want to deal with. Don't push your significant other into the arms of somebody else. Now, and I've said this before, and I'll finish up with this. If you're not a religious or spiritual couple, find someone you both trust, a friend or a family member who knows you both and can be fair and open. Again, so important. Because you have to. You have to have someone that, and again, that you both trust. Don't just get your brother because he's cool with you and he don't really like your wife and he's going to tell. No, that's what you and I talk about. Someone that you both can trust. Now, moving on. Balance. And again, this is so, actually all of these important. I'm not going to say it's important. All of them important. With balance, as a couple, look to keep as balanced as possible. Learn to lean on each other in hard times. Know the various ways to restore each other when bad times happen, and they will. I have to know and keep on file how to make tips fun. Tiff knows how to comfort me without really saying a whole lot. Might be a kiss on my forehead if I'm going to bed. That's the way she says I'm sorry too. Little things. Baby, you hungry. Baby, you hungry. You have to know how to get things back to that pleasurable level. I might make a joke even at the worst time and she wants to be mad at me, but I'm going to be funny. Or I know that she's sad. And I listen, the day her mom died, now listen to me. I'm going to think I'm messed up in the head, but I'm going to tell you right now. Let me quickly just explain to you how we found out. We were on our way to work early in the morning. They're sitting in the passenger side. I am driving. We get a phone call, and it says, do you know Ina Lightfoot? We're like, yes, yes. What's going on? Call dropped. So we're like, what was that all about? But I'm trying to make the call back on my Bluetooth now. Just let me get my speakers. Get a call back. Because Tiff said, that's my grandmother's number. I said, well, why would she be calling me? So now, of course, we have no idea what's going on. Call comes right back. It's an officer again who says, you know, Ina Lightfoot. Now, Tiff is frantic. She's already heard her mom's name mentioned once. She goes, yes, 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 what? And then that's when we get to the grave news. So now, Tiff is hysterical. I mean, she's losing it in the car, and it's expected. So I pull over and I call my job and I'm trying to explain to the principal, I'm not going to come in, what we just heard, I don't know anything, and I'll talk to you later. So, okay, get back in the car. Tip is hyperventilating. Tip is going through, she's going through the gamut of emotions. Now, in my mind, I'm going, I got to do something. She got baby, I got to do something. And so I made a joke about the car. I was like, hey, you know. I said, she just came and got the car yesterday. I just messed up. You know, what was exactly that? Do you remember exactly what I said?
You know, it's funny because we were on our way there, and I had calmed down a little bit, and the police officer said, because I could hear him say that they found her in her car, and I said, you know, how ironic that she died in her car. And KL said, he started laughing, we both started laughing, and he said, I'm so glad you said it, because he said he wanted to say it, but he wasn't sure how I would take it.
But I was like, hey, just can't pick the car up.
It was funny, and it was something that I needed for that moment, because it was a sensitive situation. So there's times that people might not understand that type of humor that Kale has sometimes, but I appreciate it because I know that he's doing it from a good part of his heart, and that he doesn't want to see me upset. So he'll make a joke in order to try to, you know, alleviate some of the pain. But a lot of people might not understand that.
Exactly. And it's needed. And you got to, and both of you have to know, not just one side of Tip knows. And I'm not a person who gets emotional on a regular, but I have my moments. And, you know, a lot of times it's in private, believe it or not. Even though Tip and I have a wonderful relationship, there's just times I'm privately emotional because I know I have to be the foundation to her, my mother, to my family. I know that. And so I always joke, what happens when the strong man is tired? But it's just the role that I play, and so I kind of suck those tears up and get back to whatever needs to be done. But Tiff knows how to restore that when I'm having those moments of weakness, which are not often. And I always lean on Tiff when I'm not sure of something, because I know she's going to be honest. If it's something that I wrote, if it's something that I'm thinking, I always share it with her before I make a move, because I know I can sometimes get sidetracked with thinking this is the greatest thing going, like, especially with letters with work. And I'm going to tell you, there's times that I've had battles with principals who have attempted to try to fire me just because they don't like my connection to the children. And I get angry that I'm being attacked for doing the right thing. So my response a lot of times is a scathing email or something, or a scathing letter, and Tip will go, no, you're not sending that, or you're not printing that out, no, you hear what you're saying, and she'll read it to me and go, you can't write that, or you can't say that, and then when I go back over and look at it calmly, I'm like, wow, I basically threatened my boss, or I basically tried to punk my boss. I was like, okay, cool. These are the things that are needed for you two to, one, stay bonded to each other. And that's the key. That's the goal, is to stay bonded with each other so you grow together, not grow apart. There's only two things that can happen in a relationship. You grow closer together or you grow apart. Now, it could be time. It's going to take time. It could be years. It could be months. It could be days. But either way, the goal is to try to be together long enough that the two of you can actually start to have that singularity in thought. And Tiff and I like that. Tiff will all the time yelling, get out of my head, because I'm already thinking some of the same things she was thinking. Or I'll joke and say something, and I was just thinking the same thing. Or I'll look at her, and she'll look at me, and I already know exactly what she's thinking. And I'm the rude one, so I'll be like, and she's like, I was just thinking that. I'm like, I laugh, because that's exactly what happened. So, you know, this is what you do. Now, I want to give you a term for you guys that are paying attention. Homeostasis. Now, stop thinking nasty, because as soon as you hear, you know, whatever. Homeostasis. 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 Now, I'm going to give you the definition. It is the tendency of the body to seek and maintain a condition of balance or equilibrium within its internal environment, even when faced with external changes. A simple example of homeostasis is the body's ability to maintain an internal temperature around 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, no matter the temperature outside. Now, let me explain to you why I put this in. your body chemically will try to find a balance. You have to do that within a relationship at all costs, no matter what is going on, no matter how bad a situation is. Find a way to get that balance back. Now, this is one of the things I am gifted at. No matter what the crisis is, I'm going to find a way to bring this back to some way that we can joke and laugh and some type of normality. Because if not, someone that you care about can slip into a state of depression, or you can lose your connection with your significant other. I will not allow Tiff to sink into a state of depression because of her mom, so I reminded her about the baby. And I took care of things instead of asking her to do it. I got this. I got you. Because to help her get back balanced, I had to take some of the weight off of her so she can get balanced. And I asked her to do some of the same things for me. And that has to be the case between the two of you, because if you do not, then once something is off balance, once something is out of line, it cannot operate the way it was designed. It cannot. Will not.
I also want to mention that when you talk about balance also means recognizing each other's strengths and weaknesses, recognizing your own strengths and weaknesses. And one thing I always give KL credit for is being an eloquent speaker and being able to command an audience. I mean, I speak at occasions where people ask me to talk or whatever, but he happens to have a gift at it. I don't have a gift at it. If you need me to talk, I'll talk. But he can, I tell people all the time, if KL wanted to, he could command an audience in a basketball stall. And he's good at doing
it. And I have. Yeah. I have had church in the bathroom. Yo, brother, you want to put your penis away? We can talk. But I can't really talk with you holding your junk in your hand. I can't solve your problem with your beef in your hand. Now put your beef away, and we can talk about whatever's going on.
Now, I'm more of a planner. You give me a project, and you say, Tiffany, we want to have a conference, and this is what we want to do. I can find a venue. I could draw up the contract. I could draw up a budget. Now, you know, I can do that. But when it comes to, like, talking, and sometimes I'm not gung-ho, because I tell people all the time, I do have stage fright. I do have glossophobia, which is the fear of speaking in public. And it's something that I'm overcoming over time. But we understand we are each other's partners, so we work together. So I might say, you know what? These plates and actors need to go this way. And Kale will say, well, what difference does it make? Believe me, it makes a difference. And then I might not be able to tell him why it makes a difference now, but when he sees it in play, he says, okay, you're right. It does make a difference. So, I mean,
it works. I mean, this is what it works. And it's also understanding each other's strengths and weaknesses, too. Tiff, like she said, yeah, I run my mouth, but here's my thing is I know what I'm talking about. And I know I have something to say. That's why I run my mouth. I'm not just Charlie Brown's teacher and wah, 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 just saying whatever. And I used to run away from this gift and, like, you know, would become antisocial. Like, why everybody bothered me? Now I look forward to it. And, you know, we were joking about the bathroom, but I was in Atlantic City and a man, you know, the bathroom is empty. And, you know, I'm using the urinal and the brother just came right next to me to pee. And I'm like, brother, all these empty stalls. And you going to come over here and pee next to me? Alert. Weirdo alert. And then the brother just said, I'm going to leave my wife. And I'm like, okay, but do you need to talk to me like this with your penis out? Could you put your penis away? And then we could talk. And so, of course, and I made sure he washed his hands, too. So we're talking, and he explained to me that he wanted to leave his wife. He was disgruntled. He was upset. He said he had lost a ridiculous amount of money. You know, he's in Atlantic City, excuse me. And I said, okay, brother, wait a minute. One has nothing to do with the other. You know, losing money, that's on you. You chose to come down here and gamble, but now you're mad at your wife. You want to leave her because you're sitting here upset about the money that you lost. I said, which is it? Are you upset about the money that you lost, or are you upset with your wife? And then after we had a chance to talk, I said, well, the money, you can go back out there and get that. You came down here to gamble. But with your wife, you need to stop and consider what you're losing if you just cut her off. This, we're not talking about poker chips. And he was like, well, and I said, listen, you brought this up to me. I can only tell you what I heard from you. Now, and I gave him my advice or whatever. Now, and what's funny is he saw me later on, because I was in Atlantic City for a week at the time. He saw me the next day, and he was so excited. He said, "This is my wife. This is my wife." And I was like, "Okay." And he said, "I got back that $30,000. I'm up right now." I was like, "Okay, cool." And so I noticed that my sons would say to me often, "Dad, you talk to everybody." Yes. I once had a homeless guy. I was coming out of a restaurant with my former wife, and we had a doggy bag, and a guy said, "Hey, give me some food. I'm hungry." And my ex-wife was like, "Oh, come on. Why are we wasting our time?" And I was like, "The man said he's hungry." She said, "So you want to give him our food?" I said, "You just ate. We just ate at an expensive restaurant. You full." So I said, "Bro, you hungry?" He said, "Yeah." So she said, "You know what? Whatever." And she walked away. I'm going to the car. So she walked up the block. So when I go to hand the guy the food, the guy said, "Why don't you come and sit with me?" I said, "You want me to sit on the ground and give you my food?" He's like, "Yeah, you scared?" I'm like, "All right, bro, whatever." So I knelt down, and I handed him the food, and I'm watching. So he's got this bag next to him. He goes into the bag, and I'm like, "Okay, if he pull anything that don't look right out of that bag, he's going to get beat down, and I'm going to take my food and go back to the car." So he goes in his bag, and it's funny is he reached in, he pulls out like a towel or something to wipe his hands off. He rips open the bag, he starts eating the food. So as he's eating the food, he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and we're both kind of looking at each other like, "Who's going to do something to the other one?" He goes back into his bag, I tense up a little bit, and he pulls out a degree from South Carolina University, bachelor's degree. He goes back in the bag, he pulls out another degree. I believe it was from South Carolina, too, I'm not exactly sure, his master's degree. And I said, "Whoa, wait a minute." Now, at that point, all I had was my associate's degree. I didn't even have my bachelor's or my master's at the time. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, this dude is more educated than myself. So now I actually sat down next to him. I said, "If you have these degrees, what happened, bro?" He said, "Well, I'll explain it to you." So then he goes into his bag and he pulls out Black Enterprise. He flips through the pages. He shows me pictures from him from like early 80s. And he was showing how he was this high class exec. He came up here from down south, got to doing drugs, and that's how he ended up being homeless. I was blown away, and I was like, "Wow!" And I'm soaking all this in. So he said, "Let me tell you something, bro. You shouldn't be married to that woman." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, she don't love you." So I'm like, "I just gave you food, and now you're gonna disrespect my wife?" He's like, "She don't love you." And he said, "I can see it. I'm just telling you." And I said, "Okay, well, tell me how you can see it." He says, "If she really loved you, she would not have left you here to get hurt. She would have stood close to see what was going on, but she would not have left eyesight. If she loved you, she would have stayed where she could see what was going on until you gave her permission to go ahead and go. Instead, she left, which means she didn't care what happened to you." I was like, "Wow, this is a homeless guy giving me the rundown." So, you know, the Lord said, "Be careful. Be careful who you deal with, because you might be dealing with an angel." Then he said to me, "You're never going to do the things you need to do in life until you get rid of her." And I said, "Wow, bro, you just going to blow my marriage up like that?" He said, "I can only tell you what I see, bro." He's like, "I lost it all. I know." And I said, "Well, do you need anything?" He said, "No, I'm good." He didn't ask for money or nothing. I got up. And when I got to the car, the first thing she said was, "So you finished talking to the bum who ate our food?" I said, "Do you know the information that bum did?" And she said, "I don't care what that bum told you. He couldn't have told you nothing that's going to help us." And I said, "You're 100% right, but he told me something that's going to help me." So I say that to say, I have gotten comfortable with people coming to me, and you can't shy away from the gifts that God has given you. And in your relationship, if the two of you accept your role of who you are with each other, you will have a tremendous relationship. We're not going to go to a break. We're going to go straight through 10 o'clock, because I want to get through a couple more of these, and we're definitely going to go back over some more, because I know we're not going to finish tonight. The next area, the next bullet point, is the commitment itself. Now, let me break this down for you. You got into a relationship, you made a commitment. If you got it, and I'm talking marriage now, I ain't talking about shacking up. If you shacking, you do what you got to do. Now, I stole that from last night's LA preacher. But, Preachers of LA. If you're shacking up, hopefully you're shacking up with the goal of marriage. Don't play house. Tiff always says that, and I think it's cute. Don't play house. Do it for real. Tell that woman you love her. Tell that man you love him. Go ahead and stop playing it, because you're basically married anyway. If he cheats and she cheats, it's going to hurt just the same. What are y'all waiting on? If you're already living together, you're playing house anyway, so stop faking it. go ahead and do what you got to do. So live up to your commitment. Now, living up to your commitment and beyond your commitment, the goal should be to surpass the commitment, meaning that the commitment becomes so intertwined you don't even think about it. Remember, marriage began on a commitment to God first and then each other. Take it seriously. Most folks go to church. Most folks have a justice of the peace. Most folks have a pastor give them some words where they commit to God before they commit to each other. Trust is reinforced through the continual growth of the commitment. The more you are committed to each other, the stronger your relationship becomes. It starts to become so fortified that no one, short of the Lord himself, can separate you. I'm not worried about some woman coming and trying to pry me away from Tiff. Not going to happen. Just like I'm not worried about some man. That's my wife, and now that's going to be the mother of my child. So I'm not worried about that other person trying to get in between us, so we don't have those petty worries that some people have. Scared every time their significant other goes out the house, beeping and paging and blowing up everything because they've been out of fight for about an hour. You said you was at the club. Honey, I went to the bathroom. Huh? I don't know. How did I know you went to the bathroom? I was drinking beer. Oh, I don't know that. And vice versa. Who was you with? You said you was a girl. I hope you had to take all the girls home and all these questions. Stop. Stronger the commitment, stronger the bond, the better the relationship. Keep your marriage at the forefront of your situation. So when I go to do anything, clear it with Tiff. Not that I need her permission, because I want her involved in anything that I'm going to do that's going to affect this matter. Now, this is one of the sticking points that we have, because I try to get a tip about this. Don't make decisions without checking with me first, because I might see or hear something that you didn't hear. Now, Tiff is hard-headed in this aspect. Yes, I'm going
to
blow up.
I have to admit I am, because I'm so independent. And I've actually, give me credit, over the years, the last couple of years, I have sacrificed some of my independence.
Listen to your husband,
for the
as
sake
I say
of our marriage. Because I am independent,
I
and I say that all the time.
As I say constantly, listen to your husband. Not
I
that I am
to you more.
Hear this guy more. Translation. She's so hard-headed in some cases. But actually, that goes to the next line, and as you are no longer in this world alone, I have to remind Tiff of that, is that I know you're independent, and I'm not trying to take away your independence. I'm just saying, before you make certain decisions, run it past me, because it allows me to help you or even see. There's things that Tiff has done that I would have never done that, and then I'll explain to her why, and then she goes, okay, I didn't think about that. And I go, I know. That's why my job is to pay attention to that. You know, my job is to make sure of certain things. And so these are the things that, you know, I try to do for the relationship, because if you're not using your strengths to better the relationship, well, then the weaknesses will actually take over. You don't want that.
Right.
Also, allow the relationship to morph into a greater unit than when you were single. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Allow the relationship to morph into a greater unit than when you're single. And what I mean by that is, since Tiff and I have been together, we've had the birth of A Man in Transition. We've had the birth of Raven Publishing. We've had the birth of Gigolo to Jesus. We've published a total 15 books. We've had our hands on 15 books through our company, as well as we've been featured in Ebony magazine. Now, we didn't do any of those things when we were single. We didn't do any of those things apart. But from the strength of our union and the conviction of our union to each other, these opportunities presented themselves because of how well we worked together and the vision that we had for our future. And so that future opened up the opportunity to not only write books, but to publish books and then to create our own company and so forth and so on. Now, since I have written this, Tiff has went on to win a national pageant. We are now expecting our first child. We have another book coming out. So 16 and 17 and 18 is on the way. I'm part of another book that is coming out. So What I'm saying is we've done more together than we could have ever done single. And actually, what's not on this list is actually I got my master's degree after Tiff and I got together. Tiff is an important figure behind me getting my master's degree because she made sure that all of my papers were error-free and lined up the right way. So I graduated with my master's degree with a 4.0. Yes, I got an A in every class. I couldn't have gotten there without Tiff making sure that my paperwork was the right way. So my master's degree is as much hers as it is mine. And even with the pageant, Tiff gave up going to the pageant the year before in 2012 because we were having some financial difficulties and I wanted her to go, but we wound up using the money to do some other things. So this year when we started to have some financial edgings and I was like, you know what, I don't care. We're going to find a way to get you there. And we did. And she got to Atlanta and she won.
So I just want to say also that of course, with the love and support of my husband, I mean, he made a plea on Facebook, which I didn't even know he was going to do, in order to ask people to help me get to the pageant. But one other thing I find funny is that during the pageant, we had to answer a final question on stage. And we could actually hear in the backstage the questions that the other delegates were being asked. And one of the delegates was asked, who was your favorite author? I said, Dad, why couldn't you get that question? I would have said, my husband. And it was so funny. You don't know what your question is going to be when you get up here, but you better answer it as best as you can. And when I got on stage and I picked out the question was, who is your mentor or who inspires you and why? And I said, that's easy, my husband. So it was so funny because, and I explained why, and I explained, you know, where he had come from, where he is now, and how he helped make me a better person. But it was just that question, you never think about it really. And then when I was on stage, it just came to me easy. It wasn't even something I had to think about it. So I just have to say that my husband has been that support system for me. And it's been an amazing journey. I was actually giving him credit earlier today at work, saying that I used to be someone that would basically let people not run over me, but I would let them maybe take the line too far than where it needed to go. And I had to learn. I had to learn that I can say no. I can be comfortable with saying no and not think about how the other person feels about me saying no to whatever their demands were. And he's helped me a lot with that. So I want to thank you very much, honey. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, baby. You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, this is what we do. And this is what the situation is. And to honestly, this is why we share with you everything with the relationship. It's not to say, oh, we're doing better than you, oh, we're better than you. No, it's to just let you know we're real people doing real things and working on dealing with real issues, real problems. And listen, we the reason why Tiff and I post so much on Facebook about what goes on is not just to gain your attention, is that we made the commitment that we were going to live our lives out loud and transparent so we can help others by what they see in us. We also realize that the business that we are in, as publishers, but also as mentors, that we wanted to let folks in so they can see that we're real. So when we say we're trying to help, we really are trying to help. Now, the hardest thing with doing that is that folks always think that there's some ulterior motive. So when you're asking folks to buy books, when you're asking folks to support, they get bent out of shape because they think you're going to take their money and do something negative with it. So we try to show what we're doing on our own. And Lord knows we've done all of this on our own, using money that sometimes we just didn't have, but it's to keep the business afloat, to keep the things that we're doing. And I mean, some days I wanted to walk away, and I actually said to Tiff, I'm done. I'm trash and Brave and Publishing because I'm just tired of doing it all by myself. And then she'll say, whatever you want to do, baby, you know. But then something inside my spirit says no, because I know why I started this. I need this to put my own books out. And times that I wanted to walk away, I just have not been able to, because I just know that greater things is going on. Now, Tiff just wrote me an email the other day, and I gave her an idea for a project that I knew would have made money, but she said, no, I don't want to do something that somebody else did even if it's going to be better, I want to do something for myself first and then come back to that. And I said, okay, fine, let's go. Because if it's going to help grow the project, if it's going to help grow our company, if Braven Publishing is going to benefit, and of course if the Lord is going to benefit from it, let's go. And I know that's where I'm moving to, because with TIFF, I've been able to now step up and take my position as the man that I believe that I can be, but now I'm also moving into areas to be the man for God that I know I can be. So you're actually going to see that. Now, we got about 13 minutes left. So what TIFF and I are going to do, we're going to hold off on the rest of the seminar. And when we come back next week, we're going to discuss humor, the little things, roles, and playful lovemaking. So we will definitely continue that next week. And so we ask anyone that is listening to please share the archive link, and I will give that to you. They can actually connect to that so they can check it out. The archive link is www.blogtalkradio.com/GQ, which is GEEQUE, /Palace/2013/10/18/GQ Palace. Wow, that's a lot. Even better. Gonna do it this way. Make it easier for you. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/GQ Palace, and just look up Reality and Relationship, and just click on the Reality and Relationships show from tonight, which is October 17th. That is one place to listen to the show. Also, we will put the show up on our blog, which is makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com, and you'll definitely be able to hear the show there. And it is very important that you pass on this information to individuals so they can click on the links, because, and let me explain this to you, and it's very important. We do this radio station under the GQ Palace radio umbrella. By listening to our show, by coming back and clicking those links, it allows GQ Palace Radio to get the hits that it needs. So when Rich and Levine are out promoting the radio station, they can get folks to then put money into what we do, which then allows us to reach a broader audience. So when you have independent brothers and sisters like Rich and Levine doing their thing, you need to support what TIFF and I are doing, because we're connected to others doing their thing. So we ask that you share the links with as many people as possible, listen to the shows a few times, gain what you need from it, and then reach out to TIFF and I and let us know what you think. Let us know what you need. We're here to help. Now, let's run down how you can reach us. On Facebook, author K.L. Belvin, Tiffany Braxton Belvin on Facebook. We have the From Gigolo to Jesus page. Make sure you like that. We have the Making Marriage Cool Again page. Make sure you like that. You have author Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Like her page, because she is definitely going to get on her writing, because I'm going to find a way that she does not have to work so she can be home working on her book and taking care of the baby. And then, of course, we have the Braven Publishing page on Facebook. Now, that's four pages. You should like all of them. Now, we have the makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot blog. We also have the klbelvin.blogspot.com blog, which is my own blog, which I put up the shows, and I put up different things connected to my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, which you're going to see push forward in 2014 and really be connected to a lot of the church work that I'm doing. On Twitter, you have author K.L. Belvin and Braven Books. Those are my two Twitter handles that I use. And TIFF, who doesn't like to use Twitter for whatever reason, your Twitter handle is?
T. Braxton Belvin.
T. Braxton Belvin? At yep. T. Braxton Belvin? Okay,
yep.
So that's at T. Braxton Belvin. You can add us, because I am on Twitter every day. I use social networks. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not putting pictures up of my feet, the food, the books. I ain't got time for all that. The lady on the train picking her nose, I ain't got time for none of that. But I do put pictures up on Twitter. We're also going to start a video series, which is going to be connected to From Gigolo to Jesus. Now, my books, A Man in Transition, From Gigolo to Jesus. I'm also a part of A Soul of a Man, part of Wordplay One. If you go to our website, www.bravenpublishing.com, we currently have all of my books on sale. I decided I wanted to give folks an opportunity to get their hands on my book, so this way they can see what we're about, because moving forward, books will return back to their regular price, and we're going to move forward. I am going to be a part of Soldiers of the Cross, which is a new anthology, and I have a story that is in there and is also going to be the groundwork for my new book, which is coming out in 2014, which is going to be Christian fiction. So we have a lot that we're doing, and we have a baby on the way. So if you just want to support us simply because we're having a baby, all donations are acceptable. If you go to the makingmarriagecoolagain.blogspot.com, there is a link there if you want to support us in any way, because this is our form of ministry. We go out and we try to help folks because we are a faith-based company. There are just certain things we don't do business, people we don't do business with. We don't care if you get offended by it. Anything that is opposite our faith, we're just not going to rock with. But we are trying to build something as a couple of color. I am also an educator, so not only am I a mentor, I also write lessons. I do different things. So whatever you need, reach out. Stop playing games. This is what it's about. Tiff is actually working on. She's a judge. She's actually flying down to Florida in December to judge a pageant. She was invited back for the second year. So she did an outstanding job last year. So they just sent her the itinerary, and her plane ticket will be here. And so they're paying for everything to have her come down to judge a pageant in December. And she, after having the baby in March, God willing, everything going well, she'll be down for the pageant in April that she won last year. But this year she'll be going to play a role in the pageant itself. So there's so much that we are trying to do that we need your help. What did I miss?
You missed that you're getting baptized.
Okay. I didn't miss it. I just didn't want anybody in my business. No, I'm just joking. I was getting to that. Yes. I'm waiting on the date, November 10th or November 17th. We're waiting for confirmation. I'm leaning towards November 10th. I am getting baptized. It is my rebirth as a Christian. It is that. Thank you so much. Yes, at Church of the Rock, Brooklyn, New York. It's actually Church of the Rock, Brooklyn, New York, East 92nd Street between Avenue J and Avenue K here in Brooklyn, the Canarsie section of Brooklyn. I don't know the time yet if it's going to be the morning service at 9 or it's going to be 11:30. Once I'll post all the information on Facebook, on Twitter, and, you know, come on out if you want to come out. I would love for you to celebrate with me. I'm taking the steps necessary to fortify my faith. These are the steps that I need to take to push my walk with the Lord to a level that I would like it to be at. And I'm trying to ascend even further than that if I can, because as a protector and the person in this marriage whose job it is to take care of my wife and the baby, as well as all my children, this is my way of saying to the Lord, I'm ready. And for whatever he has for me, and I also know I'm ready for the negative, that's going to come from that too. But if you want to come and celebrate with us, I'm sure Tiff will put something together, whatever. We'll have all the information on how we're going to do it or what we're going to do and everything like that. So I definitely would like to see you come out. If you want to come and celebrate with me, feel free. Just please know how to act in church. You know, it is church. So, you know, don't Arsenio hooping and hollering, but definitely come out and celebrate. And, of course, moving into 2014, the focus is on keeping Tiff healthy for the baby, keeping the baby healthy, and setting up all the things that we need to do to make things better.
We need to start taking bets. We need to start taking bets because next Tuesday, God willing, if the baby is being cooperative, we'll be able to tell what we're having, whether we're having a boy or girl.
It's a boy.
Stop
playing.
It's a boy.
I know it's a boy.
But
he's rambunctious all over the place, bouncing up and down all over the place, and he knows when he's around
people.
It's a boy.
Told me that they think it's a girl. But I had a dream many, many years ago before Kale and I got together that I had a baby. Like, I went through the whole process, delivery and everything in the hospital, and it was a baby boy with a head full of hair. So that was my dream. That's the reason why I believe I'm having a boy. But a lot of people think I'm having a girl. So next Thursday when we come back, hopefully we'll be able to tell
we'll
our listeners what we're having.
Yeah, so, yes. So, you know, oh, I'm definitely excited. And I get a day off from work. Yay! Take a Tuesday off. That's what I'm talking about. I already got the personal day in the books. So I get paid for the day. But, yes, and if you want to know about Baby Belvin, go to the Making Marriage Cool Again Facebook page. Just put all the updates on what's going on with the baby and a little bit of other things on there, too. But we agreed that not on our pages. They will be on the Making Marriage Cool Again page. And so if you want to know about the Baby Belvin update, make sure that you go there. So with the time coming to an end, I want to simply say I always love to go over this seminar because it is something that I created with Tiff's help. It is what I do. It is what my master's degree is in, is writing curriculum. I wanted to create something that I knew was going to help other couples. And Tiff and I sat down and wanted to make sure that it reflects who and what we are. And we're not done yet. And like I said, when we come back next week, we will go through humor, which you can see is definitely a big part of what we do. The little things, roles, and the playful lovemaking, as well as we will fill you in on everything that's going on with Baby Belvin, whether he is a boy or she is a girl. We're going to give you all of that. And so I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for tuning in each week. And we ask that you please share this information with somebody who could use it. And if they need our help directly, our email is info. Actually, we're going to give the other one. BlackLoveRadioNY@gmail.com. BlackLoveRadio@gmail.com. Also, I'm going to give you our voicemail number if you want to leave a voicemail. If you have any questions or even some show ideas, it is 347-921-0443. Leave a message. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you need. And we're available to speak at any event. Of course, we can work out the cost or the price. Darling, what you want to tell them before you go?
Well, we only got one more minute, so, you know,
yeah.
There's not much more to say, but I'm glad everyone tuned in today. Tune in next week when hopefully we'll tell you whether it's a boy or girl.
Yeah.
And God bless and good night.
Good night.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we doing, my baby?
Yes. It's head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. We've had some ups and downs. Made a lot of bad mistakes. But we've always had some good times. And through it all, you held me down. Baby, you've always held it down. Ooh, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
That's right.
You.
Baby, you're my soul. like that.